hey, how are you? Great to hear. Yeah, come in. Make yourself comfortable. Like a drink? Sure. There you go. Welcome to the Tech Lounge. Shall we begin? Happy New Year. Happy 2025 to everybody, and welcome to the first Tech Lounge of the year. It's an interview show, one from a few months ago, as are so many of my interviews. There's often a bit of a backlog. And it is with Phil and Stacey, who are part of the small team now building the Developer Relations Foundation over at the Linux Foundation. Developer Relations is one of these roles that's often in a lot of tech companies, and that kind of connection between community, marketing, engineers, all sorts of different things. It's a role that has existed for some time, but never really had its own kind of foundation to represent all of those interests and needs. So it's 2025. I'm not really one of those people who makes New Year's resolutions. It's just another day in some respects. And I tried this last year. I opened a document in early 2024 about my plans and priorities for the year, and I never even finished writing it, and the year just flew away. And I think I've mentioned this throughout 2024. I had some energy issues, a lot of sleep issues, and we talk about mental health, but maybe there's this mental wealth, and you want to be sure you have the energy, the motivation for things, but often life gets in the way. And for me, definitely sleep. My diet is actually okay. Exercise is pretty good. Stress management, not so good. Trying to cut down on compensating for a lot of that with alcohol and coffee and things like that. I don't think this is a problem I'm alone in. So I would like to introduce back to the show again, Magic Mind, these wonderful little, actually the color has changed this time. I think I last covered them about 6 months ago in the summer of 2024. The color has changed. It's a different shade of green. I think I prefer this shade. It's sort of clearer. Looks a bit like spirulina maybe. Anyway, and Magic Mind aims to help a lot of these aspects of your life that you need to keep going, to keep on those goals. I think for me, it is really that sleep issue. Some of it is internal. Some of it is external. We have two kittens who are endlessly waking us up in the middle of the night, but there's always that aspect of, can you get back to sleep? That's probably the thing. It gives energy, slow release energy that is not just caffeine. Caffeine, you know, I like coffee, but it does tend to like bring you up and then bring you right down again. It has a lot of other ingredient instead to give that sort of slow release of energy throughout the day. If you're interested in getting your own little box of Magic Mind, now shipping all over the world, actually to 65 different countries and also some stores, you can look on the Magic Mind website to see if it's in any of your local stores. I have a discount link and code to get 45%, that's nearly 50% off of a Magic Mind bundle. Just head on over to magicmind.com/tech, T-E-C-H, Jan, J-A-N, as in the month. And I hope you enjoy that lovely shade of green too.
The door being banged by your dogs and they're coming in.
Oh, sorry. It's now open, so she'll be fine. She's a little one, yeah.
So what's the name of your dog, Stacey? What's the dog's name? Fika. Fifa, yeah. Or Peepa?
Her name is actually Fika.
Or Fika. Isn't that Swedish. The Finnish or Swedish coffee thing, isn't it?
Yep. Swedish, yes. She's a sweet little treat. Yes, she is.
We named
and also very annoying sometimes.
So. We named our cats after things from horror part. Films. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so the Linux Foundation seems to be expanding its kind of portfolio of various sub-foundations it looks after. I don't think this is the first sort of strictly non-technical project, but We are talking about the intent to form the Developer Relations Foundation. Maybe we should very quickly start with what is developer relations? I know that's a broad topic, but what does it mean to you?
Right. Well, developer relations to me is I feel like we are the go-between between the developer community and the company. Mm-hmm. So I always like to state my position, being that I'm a former marketer, is that I'm sort of the PR person for the developer to the company and for the community. And I think that having the Linux Foundation participate in terms of supporting this has been really important for us from a developer relations standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? I mean, I know this kind of role could come under different names, but developer relations, developer evangelism, developer advocacy, are they all the same thing to you, or are they different things? Or
well, I like to think of developer relations as sort of the broader umbrella. Yeah. And that there's different components that sit under developer relations. So from some perspective, where I started out in DevRel was in developer marketing, you know, being the voice for the developer from an authentic and technical standpoint, a little bit different marketing perspective than what you would commonly do in marketing. There's also other components in terms of developer advocacy, being the advocate for those developers, ensuring that if they have any type of challenges or any type of problems that need solved, that as a DevRel lead, so to speak, I can help them with those and direct them to the right certain components. There's also developer experience, developer education. All of those components come into play. And really where this stems is, what is the developer's journey as they're going to interact with your products and your tools and services? What is their journey from discovery to actually engaging and using the product, maybe building a proof of concept, and then going off and actually engaging with your product from a development standpoint, and then retaining that relationship also becomes part of DevRel. We're also the go-between in the organization too, because we're representing the PR person, if you will, for the developer. And we want to ensure that all of the teams are collaborating and we have the developer journey as our priority. So we're collaborating with product, we're collaborating with engineering, with customer success, with marketing. All of those components come into play. And then we can also communicate that up through the chain to add business value. So we can really work with the executives. For those who are coming into this space, there's a lot of excitement. We need to have a DevRel team. What does that mean, right? And how do we provide business value? And really our goal from a developer relations perspective, and one of the reasons that we felt that we needed to form this DevRel Foundation, and the data shows that people are thirsty for this, is that we are going to essentially help provide that business value. So executives coming into the space saying, we need to build a DevRel team, they're going to have a place that they can go to actually learn about that, what that means, what the different components are.
Yeah. And where did the conversation begin between you and the Linux Foundation?
Well, it's really kind of a great story, because during COVID, there was a lot of thirst to connect with people, obviously. And I was very fortunate to have some peers in the industry that encouraged me to join a couple of different groups. And one of them, we actually got into very deep discussions. We really need to have a foundation, association, somewhere where it's a credible organization. And actually, that's when the conversation started with, we really need to go to the Linux Foundation, look to them for support. They are the experts in this. You know, they handle all of the governance of this. They can give us the full support. They can give us their knowledge on how to form this. And that's where the conversation started. And they started for me personally. And that's sort of what ignited my passion. I'd always really liked working in DevRel. I was about 4 years into the space at that point. But I really found kind of that connection for me personally during that time to say, yeah, we need to have this because it's so misunderstood.
I'm talking to you, Stacey and Phil, but who are some of the other people involved with the founding of this foundation?
We have several other people. Jonathan LeBlanc is on our committee. Wesley Faulkner is on our committee, and Katie Miller. They are all DevRel practitioners, experienced practitioners of their own right. They have come into this interim founding community or committee, if you will, to help us steer the boat.
So we're very fortunate to have Anna Jimenez-Santanaria from the Linux Foundation to project manage as well.
Mm-hmm. And just out of interest, you know, so in my traditional experience with the Linux Foundation, there's a lot of, you know, it's generally around software projects. So you have governance structures, you have a way to kind of handle funding for development or sources of funding through a body that funders are willing to interact with, that kind of thing. In the scope of something like this, what is the foundation for? And you know, what's it going to, it's not like one tool or something like that. What's it going to provide to the people involved?
I mean, I'll share one thought on this, is that I initially joined a little bit after Stacey. Mm. So, you know, the reason I joined was that I did see so many developer relations teams being formed and then disbanded by organizations that didn't really understand what they wanted DevRel for. So I came into this with some very clear ideas of what I would like the Developer Relations Foundation to bring. And obviously the other volunteers in the steering committee who have got, you know, years and years of experience in DevRel will also have their own very clear ideas around and what they want to see the Developer Relations Foundation bring. But during the process over the last, I guess, 4 months that I've been involved, it's been very much about getting feedback from the community and understanding what they need from something like this. So other people that practice developer relations. So although we could go ahead and define the things that exactly we will deliver, what we need to do is understand what people that practice developer relations need and then deliver on that and facilitate the delivery of those things. So we have collected a whole bunch of data. There's external data. There's a developer relations survey that goes out that current or the DevRel agency put out. We've obviously captured our own feedback from conversations and presentations, and we've got our own Discord that we're gathering more information on. So there are a whole bunch of different challenges. And again, we can provide you the links to these, but things around, you know, what is developer relations, which is so fundamental. And obviously we, again, could write our own definitions. Yeah. But we need, as a community, to come together and agree what that means. Yeah. What does it mean to practice developer relations, to be a developer relations practitioner? What are the common jobs? How do you, you know, align your business goals with developer relations activities and the things you can do? So these are just some examples of the sorts of things that we want to facilitate the delivery of. And, you know, some of us may individually be involved in some of these working groups, as you say. The other thing is we're a community foundation. Yeah. So we're not funded in any way.
Okay.
So there isn't any funding involved in this. It's by the community, for the community.
Yep. It makes things a little simpler in some ways, doesn't it? I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. And for the actual practitioners, I'm sort of interested, like I'm hearing a lot of things around, you know, helping, you know, the Linux Foundation especially is if you go to any of the kind of events, you realize there's a lot of enterprise people as well, understanding kind of what open source means and what it, how it could fit into a strategy. And I'm hearing a lot of things from you around this same side of thing, like understanding what developer relations actually is. And firstly, Stacey, your definition I think was very good, but Phil, you're also right in that, you know, it's often one of the first teams to cut people when there's financial difficulty, because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't really get it. How do we measure it? I don't know. So, but what will you actually bring to the practitioners as well? Is it also an opportunity to kind of not just share experience and best practices, but also, I'm not calling you a union, but actually like have a little bit of solidarity amongst people who may be having issues and what you could do about it and that kind of thing as well?
Yes, I think when you think about it, you know, when you go into a company, like you think about the different various branches of the company and teams in there, there's, you know, HR, there's marketing, there's product, things that people have come to know of in terms of being affiliated with corporations. But DevRel kind of sits in as the go-between between all of those different teams. And people come into the company not really understanding what it is. You know, I have people saying, oh, well, that's just dev advocacy and you're just building code. And, you know, it's so much more than that. And I think for the practitioners, one thing that we have to remember is, as Phil had touched on, this is a community-driven product or project, if you will. And what that means is that it's taking in community contributions. It's taking in community feedback, much like we as developer relations professionals listen to the developers for their feedback to improve our product. That's what we're doing as DevRel practitioners here for the DevRel Foundation. We are listening to the community. We're taking that feedback, right, to improve it. And actually putting together sort of that broader picture of what each component is. What is it? What is the true definition? We may not all agree on that. We have a definition as a foundation and going into this, but in reality, that could be changed a little bit based on community feedback. The other thing that you have to remember is that when we accepted and took all of this data in, we went to all of the external groups that we know, right? And we did it on a global basis as much as we possibly could. And I think this particular podcast that you're having will create more awareness to say, if you're a group out there that's working on DevRel and DevRel initiatives and DevRel practices, and you have some really good, you know, use cases to tell us and stories to bring to the table, bring those into the DevRel Foundation. Let's put those in kind of that broader pot of knowledge, you know, and see where we go from there.
And in a similar way that, you know, sometimes the more software-based foundations like to put out, you know, standards and specs, I know the developer relations community has had a variety of kind of measurement standards and engagement standards and things like that throughout the years. Is that something you're looking to do to sort of create maybe something that's a little bit more the standard that everyone could use, a bit more official, as opposed to everyone just creating their own all the time in different events and groups?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons for this to be under the Linux Foundation is that although the Linux Foundation is, again, really facilitating this, they're not providing direction, right? That's the steering committee's responsibility. It's the responsibility of them then to represent the community. And, you know, there are, as you say, Chris, there are a lot of resources out there already. So it's not about reinventing the wheel either. It's about trying to have a look at what resources are out there already and get feedback from, you know, this may be one of the working groups. It may be, okay, well, we really need to, you know, create a great definition. We really need to identify some of the best ways of measuring developer relations and gathering that those resources that are out there already. Maybe, you know, working groups can run from potentially, you know, 6 months to multiple years. And I can imagine the one, if the community decides they want something, okay, well, we need the standard for, or a set of standards for defining best practice in measuring the success of developer relations, that there may well be a working group that's formed around that brings in the existing resources and then iterates on those.
Yeah.
Because developer relations, as with any other practice, isn't going to stand still either. So I do hope that we get those sorts of working groups that form, that create those sorts of resources that can become in some way standards, but do that through demonstrating that they're bringing value, that people are utilizing them and getting success from them, and, you know, helping both themselves succeed as individuals, the teams that they represent succeed, and the businesses that they represent see the value from that.
What's kind of a rough timeline? So I think as of like a week ago, we have this intent to form. I'm imagining the Linux Foundation has its own kind of timelines that you must follow, maybe, I don't know. But what's the timeline to actually become formal or to actually become the foundation?
Well, I think what we're in the process of doing is we have our mission, we have our charter. We have, you know, a GitHub repo of all of this content and information. We have a place that people can go to. We still have a survey that is open right now to collect that data and feedback. So we're going to encourage people to join us and participate. But from the Linux Foundation standpoint, right now we're still in that intent to form formation, if you will. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time, perhaps in the coming months, for us to formulate and put timelines. We have an actual proposal on the different phases that Wesley Faulkner had worked on. We're going to go ahead and put some timelines to that, some tasks and deliverables. We're talking just like project management here. And then we're going to have that all laid out. So in the coming months, they're going to have more depth on how that's going to be formulated. And we have kind of a broader perspective of, you know, 5 to 6 type of working, potential working groups that could evolve and change based on survey feedback and based on the participation. We also have community calls every week. So we have one for, you know, APAC and MIA, and then we have another one for the Americas. And we encourage people to come on there, join us, and we'll continually be going through where we are in each phase and how we're going to get there.
I think that was going to be my very next question, and I was even looking at that calendar. Is that the best, if someone is interested in getting involved, I guess the survey and then join a call is probably the best next steps.
Yeah, and the Discord is probably the most active of places where there's, you know, there's updates every day in there from either someone from the steering committee or community members asking questions. It is only, you know, new, so it's just growing. But I think that's a good central place. Obviously, not everyone's into Discord, so there is dev-rel.org. There's a mailing list that you can get to from that as well. So email or Discord are probably the two ways. Well, we also use GitHub discussions for discussing specific topics. So those are the three, I guess, communication channels we have right now.
And just out of pure interest, in terms of, you know, obviously Linux Foundation has a lot of events. I know the developer relations community has some sort of Gatherings of Minds events. I think there's one in December in London, but that's when it usually is. I might be making that up, but that's when it has been in the past. Is there maybe an intention for those to kind of become like one and the same, like it to be a Linux Foundation event, or is that something you have no idea about right now?
Well, that's actually a great question, because we've actually had practitioners in the Discord community asking about that.
Okay.
You know, are we going to have any meetups? Are we going to have any events? You know, we have had DevRelCon in the past, and we just had one in July in the Americas. I believe it's going to be in the Americas again next year. I would certainly think that those type of events where practitioners come together as a community are going to be important. And I would say, you know, when that gentleman asked me, I said, you know, that's the dream, is that we want to have these meetups. I'm in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
I would love to have that opportunity to be able to connect with people locally here. So I think that there is a plan for something to happen to that effect. And certainly we're doing that online right now with a community call. Yeah. So in essence, we really are meeting as a community.
I mean, if there's one community that was a fan of meeting, it would be the developer relations community. So this is so.
I mean, I think the tricky thing with this is that it genuinely should be global.
Yeah.
So to create a single event for that in person is going to be very difficult. So, as Stacey's saying, I do think that the potential is maybe for a group of meetups in specific, you know, hubs, destinations around the world. I think getting everybody together at a single event, I mean, there's already DevRelCon.
Yeah.
I can see that being a logistical challenge.
Definitely. For sure. And I'm very pleased to see you've grouped together like EMEA, because there's been a massive amount of growth on the African continent and also in Asia as well. And I'm hearing from a lot of projects at the moment of like there's often this untapped community, especially in Asia, where there's language barriers and things. And there's a community that people don't always know is there. And it's kind of good to see those conversations happening in time zones that meet those communities, that they do emerge. Especially, I know in Africa, there's a lot of kind of people doing developer relations and developer marketing work. So,
we're seeing that from our survey results.
Yeah,
the survey results. We've got quite a lot of people from Africa that has responded. Also, as you say, the EMEA and APAC calls, we have quite a few people from Asia that appear there. Although I would say that the timing of that is probably a bit more
Europe-centric
than it
it's
is.
It's always a challenge.
It is. Harder for me to make that call, but I certainly try.
I always feel like sort of 2 p.m. Central European time seems to be the least worst time for everybody. but that's about the best you can say. So just to kind of wrap up, you know, it's an interesting intent. I'm just going to call it that for now, just because that's what it is called. And we've sort of covered where people can find out more. But I'd be interested, you know, after the past few years of, you know, global upsets and then economic issues and the kind of changing nature of the sort of tech startup world. It's been an interesting few years for especially people in these kind of roles. What would you say the current state of developer relations is, broadly speaking? Are you feeling positive coming out of maybe a less positive time? You know, what's your general feeling about the state of developer relations at the moment?
Well, for me personally, you know, being close to a decade into this industry, I've seen kind of the ups and downs and the turns and the challenges with it. What it was 10 years ago and what it is today is something completely different. I'm very fortunate with my company, Aerospike, that they're very much in tune with having a DevRel team and allowing us to spearhead a lot of the opportunities that we have to communicate with developers and how we can help them better. And I am seeing companies a lot with the startups and stuff that are looking to have one of those first roles is a developer relations role, right? I think when we talk about companies, and we always say this term open source, right? So where I was before, I didn't really live in the open source world in terms of product. And I think that there we have to say it's an open source community, but it's welcoming of all because, you know, we work a lot with the fintech industry where I'm at, and many of those are much more closed product type things and closed communities, but their developers, you know, reside in like their partners or their customers. And so we really, I can see that this is opening up for us as a DevRel industry into a lot of very different other pockets of business. And I do feel because, and I think this is just overall, is that a lot of people have lost work, you know. DevRel, as you stated before, is usually one of the first places that they look to cut off and cut it back. When in essence, one of the core foundations of developer relations is community. And if you don't have a community of users, if you don't have a community of users that are influencing that buy, right, of your product, you're not going to have a product. You're not going to have a company. So I think there's going to be a realization here. And I can see us progressing quite well over the next couple of years here and making some of those changes in terms of perspective.
I guess my take on this is there's been peaks and troughs over the years. We're coming out of a trough, definitely.
I think so too.
You know, you can just see the number of roles that are increasing. The role has changed to a certain extent, but probably not quite as dramatically as some people have suggested. My approach to DevRel has been a little bit different in that, and Stacey has touched on this earlier, in that, you know, it's about, you know, being the communication conduit between communities and, you know, developers and the business. I also think it's really important to have a DevRel team to build great products, right? It's you have the opportunity to serve a community, but that, those conversations aren't just about increasing usage through, you know, demonstrating more the marketing side of things. It's definitely about building the right product as well. So, and right at the very start, Chris, you said, you know, it's a very broadly applied kind of practice. And that is one of the problems we need to get over. And one of the things we need to work through with this Developer Relations Foundation to identify what type of DevRel companies need to help them succeed, and that also help you know, the people within that DevRel team succeed. Because you choose the wrong type of DevRel, they have going with the wrong expectations, and you're setting teams up to fail. And we see that far, and the businesses up to fail as well. So,
I think those are both two very interesting perspectives to put on it. Yeah, it's the the people need the people the people who want developer relations need to understand why before they go any further. Otherwise, it's like anything. If you don't understand why you want something, it's always going to fail because you don't really know what the definition of success is. So,
And you know, something we haven't touched on is you've got to have champions within the organization. Yep. So, I've been very fortunate to work at places where there have been clear champions for developer relations, and we've been able to work towards clearly understanding the value that DevRel brings. Like at Vonage, you know, we were responsible for $6 million self-serve, $6 million self-serve revenue, and that was applied to our team.
Yeah,
we were, you know, But that's got to be a conversation. And okay, you've got to line up the metrics. But if you've not got the champions to help you work out that line from what you do through to them, to those results, you know, and that took like 3 or 4 years to establish that. Many teams don't have that amount of time, that chance, that opportunity. So you need champions at the top. So, you know, I'm also hoping what we do within the Job Relations Foundation is find those champions across organizations that have seen the success of Job Relations and can share their story to not only help those practicing Job Relations be successful, but also reach the decision makers within business and give them case studies. Hey, this is what you can expect from Job Relations if you support it properly.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, Stacey and Phil, thank you very much. So I think as was mentioned somewhere in the midst of all that, you can go to dev-rel.org for sort of center point of all information at the moment and keep an eye on things and all those other places to communicate. So yeah, thank you very much for your time. And those were my guests for this episode of Tech Lounge. Thank you to Phil and Stacey. If you enjoyed this episode of The Tech Lounge, then please tell your friends. Share, subscribe, leave a comment. All things appreciated. You can find a lot more at chrischiller.com/podcasts. If you are interested in increasing your mental wealth for 2025, then head on over to magicmind.com/techjan to get 45% off of that Magic Mind bundle. The Tech Lounge will be back next week with Kate Lawrence for a discussion show, the first of 2025. So until then, thank you very much for joining everybody and take care.